Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the end of our previous shiur, we saw that Avram Avinu was able to wage war successfully against a multitude of kings by casting at them dirt and straw. The Gemara mentioned that the dirt turned into swords and the straw turned into arrows. With that in mind, we start a story, a rather well-known story, concerning Nochum Ish Gamzu. Before we continue in the reading of the Gemara, which begins at the very bottom of Kuf Ches Omid Beis, we will take note of some of our marking features. We have a title heading entitled No Say that one sees in the outside margin, Maisa Im Nochum Ish Gamzu. We see the story featuring this individual, V'sakiot he'afar, and the bags, the bundles of dirt. We also have a long marking. Notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, there's a word Maisa that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. This dashed line continues to Kuf Tes Omid Aleph, following, of course, the same side of the page, the right-hand side of the Gemara text, in this case, which indicates that all of the lines that are opposite this dashed vertical line are part of the story. Turning now to the Gemara. Nochum Ish Gamzu, Havi Rogil, he was regular, accustomed to, Dechol Dehavis Salkaleh, that whatever happened to him, especially the negative, that which appeared to be negative, whatever happened to him, Omar Gamzu Litova, he would say, this also is for the good. Yumochad bo Yisrael lishduri doron lekesar. One day, the Jewish people needed to lishduri, to send a doron, a gift, to the kesar, to the Caesar, or the king. Amri, they inquired, they asked, Bahadi man nishdar, with whom will we send, or should we send, this gift? The answer came forth, Nishdar Bahadi Nochum Ish Gamzu. Let us send it with this gentleman, Nochum, the Malumod Benisim Hu. He is a person who is accustomed to having miracles done for him. So that in the event that there's any shortcoming or any problem, we can rest assured that he'll come through. Kimota Lahu Diura Bo'or Lemivas. When he got to a particular inn on the way, he needed or wanted to Lemivas to go to sleep. Amri Le Mai Iko Bahadoch. The innkeepers asked him, "What do you have with you? What is in your satchel, in your bags?" Omar lahu ko movilno cargo lekesar. Movilno means I'm bringing cargo, a tribute, a tax. In our case, a gift to the kesar, to the Caesar. Komu belelio. After hearing that he's bringing a gift, they figure it must be some valuables. So they komu belelio. They got up at night. Sharinu lesifte. They opened up his boxes. Veshaklu kol dehave dabe. They took from him. They took from the boxes everything that he had with him. Umalinu afra, and they filled it up with dirt. Ki motel lahasim. When Nochum Ish Gamzu got to the kesar, ishtakach afra. They opened up the boxes and they found that it was dirt. Omar, the Kesar said, Achuchi ko machaychi bi Yehudai. The Jews are laughing at me. They're making a joke out of me. Afku lemiktalei. They took him out to be executed. Omar, so Nochum in character, said, Gam zulatova. This too is for the best. Osa Elio, the angel Elio Hanovi came, Vidmi Lehu Kechad Minayo, and appeared as one of the Roman officials. Omar Lehu, Elio said to them, Dilmo Hai Afro Me Afro Davrom Ovinuhu. Maybe the dirt that he is bringing is the dirt that was used by Avram Avinu to have his shodi. He would throw the dirt. Afro havucharbi, the dirt would turn into swords. Gili, and if he were throwing straw, havugiri, it would turn into arrows. Boduk viashkechu hachi, they checked it out and it turned out to be just like that. Havu mechuza, there was a region, the lo havu koyachli le lemichbeshe, that they were unsuccessful up till now in conquering. Shodu meahu afro ole, they cast, they threw from this dirt that Nochum brought, they threw it at this area, the Kopshua, and were successful in capturing it. Ailuhu lebe ginza, they escorted Nochum into the king's treasury. Amri, and they told him, Shkol denicholach, take whatever you like. Malyes lesifta dava, so he filled up his bags with gold. Ki hoder also, when he returned to the inn, Omru le, the innkeepers asked him, Hanoch, Omru le, Hanoch diri, the innkeepers asked him, my amtis lebe maka, what did you bring to the king's palace? Amar lehu, so Nochum answered, my deshakli mehocha amtoi lahosam, that which I took from here, I brought there. Naturally, he took from here dirt, and he brought to them dirt. Shakli inhu amtu lahosam. Well, upon hearing that, they heard that the dirt found favor in the eyes of the palace of the king, so they brought dirt also. However, of course, they were evil people, and no miracles happened for them. And as a result, katlinu lahanoch diri. Katlinu, they were killed. Those innkeepers were executed by the Romans. Dor haflogo ein lahem chelek leolam habo. We've entitled the sugya here on the side, the nosei, Dor haflogo migdal bovel, the generation of dispersion, the generation that participated in the building of the Tower of Bovel. The Gemara asks, "My Ovud, what did they do? What was the sin of the Dor Hafloga?" We have a marking, we call a volcano form or a trapezoid. On the side of our Gemara, we have it explained under the heading Mivneh, which is a structural note. You notice this form appears there. Two gishot, two approaches, lahasbir, to explain matarosam shelboini hamigdal, the goal of the builders of this tower. The Gemara continues, Amri debei Rabbi Shilo. The answer is, Amri, they said, Nivne migdal v'nale l'rokia v'nake oisoi bekardumois. The population said, let us build a tower and ascend to the heavens and hit him and beat him, referring to the Almighty, and beat him with hatchets, k'deshi ozuvu meimov, so that his water will flow. The Marshal offers an explanation that they were anticipatory of another flood. In other words, they didn't trust the oath that God had taken not to bring another flood. So they wanted to release all of the heavens' waters, so to speak, and since they built this tower, they would be saved by its height. Machaku ala b'marova. In Eretz Yisrael, they ridiculed or jeered this particular explanation. In Cain, if their object was to achieve height in order to escape a future flood, Livnu Echod Betura, they should have built their tower on a mountain to profit from the natural height afforded by a mountain, and their tower would have been additional, but they didn't do that. They built it in a valley. Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Elazar, Rabbi Yirmiyahu has an approach to the generation of the Dor HaFloga. He says, Nechleku l'sholosh kitos. They divided into three different groups. Achas omeres nale v'neshev sham. One group's intention was to rise up to and dwell up there in the heights. The achas omeres nale v'navoid avoides kechovim. Let us rise, let us go up and worship idols. The achas omeres nale v'nasa milchoma. Let us go and use the tower as a base for waging war with God. So we see three groups. Now we are going to learn about three punishments, a separate punishment for each group. Zu she'omeres na'ale v'neshev sham, that group which was characterized by the number one above, and hence we have a one over here in parentheses. That particular group that said, let us rise up there and dwell there, hefitzam Hashem. Hashem scattered them. Vizu she'omeres na'ale v'nasa milchoma, the group that suggested they would wage war, na'asu koifim v'ruchos v'shedin v'lilim. These human beings were converted into monkeys and spirits and demons and lilin. Vizu she'omeres na'ale v'navoid avodes kechovim, the group that said, let us go up and worship idols, kisham volal Hashem svas kol ha'aretz. That group was victim of forgetting their language and having a situation of all their language, their speech was confounded and confused, and hence they developed from this many different languages, and hence they could not communicate with one another. Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, we see a Tanaic source in our marking system. Tanaic sources are featured in frames. This is to distinguish it from the rest of the Amoraic, the Gemara literature. Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Kulam l'shem avodis kechovim niskavnu. According to Rabbi Nosson, all of the groups had idolatrous intentions. Ksiv hocha na'ase lonu shem. In the context of the building of this migdal, of this tower, the pasuk uses the word shame. Uksiv hasam v'shem Elohim achirim lo saskiru. This pasuk is a reference to the names of other gods, that one should not mention the names of other gods. Ma'ala halon avodis kechovim, just like the second pasuk cited from Shmos Perikov Gimel is a reference to idols. Afkan avodis kechovim, so too the pasuk involved with the Migdal Bavel, which used the word shame, which we have dashed underlined, of course, to draw your attention to it. So the pasuk involving the Migdal Bavel was also an attempt to serve idols. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Migdal, this tower, Shlish Nisraf, one third of it was burnt, shlish nivla, one third of it was absorbed into the ground, shlish kayom, and a third remains. To appreciate the details of this particular passage, one is recommended to look at the Marsha, who ties in this the fate of that tower into thirds to the fact that three groups were mentioned earlier. Omar Rav, Avir Migdal Meshakeach, being in the environment of this tower causes forgetfulness. Omar of Yosef, Bovel Ubursif Simin Ra Latoira. Rashi says, Bovel Ubursif Simin Ra Latoira, Shemeshakhin Halimud. These places cause forgetting of Torah learning. Because these places, Bovel and Bursif, are in the environment of this tower. My Bursif, the Gemara engages right now in word analysis. Omar Rav Asi, Bor Shofi, an empty pit. Rashi has a Dibur HaMaschil, where we've put in a star so you can find it, because the words in the Dibur HaMaschil don't correspond to the text of our Gemara exactly. The Rashi says, Lomo Nikro Shmo Bursif, why is it called by that name, this area? Bor Shofi, Bor Shnisrokein Meimov, a pit that's emptied out of its waters. Klomar, Mishakech Odom Kol Ma Shelomeid. It causes a person to be emptied out from all of his learning. oftentimes elsewhere you find Mayim being an analogy for Torah. So in this context, the pit that's emptied out of its water is in effect the person who's empty out of his Torah learning. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a new topic, and we've entitled it Anshei Sdom. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Anshei Sdom, Ein Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba, that the people of the Sdom community lost their portion in the world to come. Tonu Rabbanan, Anshei Sdom, Ein Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba, Shneamar, the Bryce, as you can see, is once again in a frame, declares, like the Mishnah, that the people of Sdom don't have a portion of the world to come, as the Pasuk indicates, the Anshei Sdom Ro'im V'Chatayim L'Hashem Ma'oid. The Brisa now darshans, Ro'im equals Bo'olam Hazeh, V'Chatayim equals Lo'olam Haba. In other words, their evil is experienced even in the world to come, indicating that they don't have a share in that. Up till now, we saw a number appearing in a diamond, a number one. When you see, of course, a 1, you've got to find at least a number 2. In this case, we have numbered up till 3. The numbering here is explained by the comment on the side under the Mivneh. You'll notice a 1-3 in diamonds. These represent 3 gishot, 3 approaches, l'drosh ha-posuk ro'im v'chatoim l'Hashem ma'od. 3 approaches to darshaning this posuk of ro'im v'chatoim l'Hashem ma'od. We're also going to see triangles used in the upcoming next few lines. They're featured here. Beis Deos, the triangles represent 2 Beis Deos Hafuchos, 2 opposite opinions, Bedroshas Roim V'Chatoim, regarding the meaning of these 2 words. This will become very clear as we go on in the Gemara. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda represents a second approach to darshaning the expressions Roim V'Chatoim. Roim Begufon, V'Chatoim B'Mamonon. Roim Begufon means they were evil bodily, they were involved with immorality. Chatoim B'Mamonon, with regard to finances, they were sinful. Roim Begufon, and now the Gemara explains the source for suggesting that. There's a pasuk that's cited here in the context of Yosef and the wife of Potiphar. Dichtiv, the pasuk there says, where Yosef resisted the temptation of conducting immorality with the wife of Potiphar, it says, Ve'ech ese hora'a hagadoylo hazois v'chatosi le'lokim. How can I do this evil? So you see that ra'a appears in the context of physical immorality. And hence, with our markings, we've also dot underlined the word hora'a, because that's the central point of the drasha. Continuing, v'chatoim v'mamonam, that was the second point, that they were sinful, the Anshei Sdom were sinful with regard to finances. Dichtiv, the pasuk that's featured here is in the context of a loan before the end of Shemitah, where we know that the conclusion of the Shemitah cancels people's loans. There are many that would be hesitant to offering a loan to a friend during the Shemitah because of the fear of the loan being canceled at the end of that particular year, the Shemitah year. So, in the being that we're discussing an issue of finances, of loans, the pasuk says, "Dichtiv v'hoya b'cho chet." We've not underlined word chet. We see the word appearing in the context of money matters. The pasuk also says, "Lashem." This is seen from the quote above that they were ra'im v'chatoim lashem oid. So the word lashem zu birkas Hashem. That means they were engaged in blasphemy. Ma'oid. Miskavnim v'choitim. They were not sinners just out of happenstance, but they were sinners because of they were committed. Miskavnim, they concentrated, they planned on sinning. They were committed to sinning. V'masni sotana, we now have a number 3, a third approach to this pasuk. Ro'im v'mamonam v'chatoim v'gufan. Notice the triangles have flipped around. All you have to do is compare these triangles to the ones that appear just above, and you'll notice that the word ro'im was associated with begufon, with the triangle pointed up. Here you have the word ro'im associated b'mamonam, and that's with the triangle facing down. It's the opposite of what was darshaned before. And likewise, v'chatoim begufon is also the opposite of the way v'chatoim was darshaned above. Hence, we've marked it accordingly. So according to this pshat that's found in the Brisa, Roim is associated with evil concerning finances, and Chatoim is sinfulness concerning one's body. How does the Tana know this? How does the author of this Tanaic source know that? So it's explained. Roim v'mamonam, dichtiv, v'ro'o einecho be'achicho ha'evyon. Evyon is an impoverished individual. So ro'einecho, one who is tight-fisted with regard to his impoverished friend, meaning he's unwilling to extend money to his friend. V'chatoyim begufon. Before we go on, we of course can take note of the fact that we dot underline the raw to show that this is the word from the pasuk that we're trying to tie in to the pasuk with Anshei Sdom, where we indicated ro'im b'mamonam. Here you have the word raw in the context of money. V'chatoyim begufon, dichtiv. Once again, this is a pasuk cited with Yosef and Eshes Potiphar. It says, and that was an issue of physical immorality, which he of course resisted. It says there, v'chatosi lelokim. So you see the word chet or chatoim in the context of physical immorality. Lashem, zu birkas Hashem. This is the same as Rav Yehuda's approach, and we've indicated that with our write-in, that this indicates that the Anshei Sdom were guilty of blasphemy. Me'oid, zu shvichas domim. This is a new pshat. It means that Anshei Sdom were involved with murder as well. Dichtiv, gam dom noki shofach menashe harbe me'oid. Notice the word me'oid in the context of shofach dom has to do with spilling of blood, with murder. And of course, we've also dot underlined the word me'oid, being that this is the word from the pasuk that serves as proof to the contention that me'oid is a word in the context of murder. Tana Rabbanan, we have another Tanaic source featuring the Anshei Sdom. Anshei Sdom lo nizgo ela b'shul toivo shishpia lemakodesh baruch hu. The Anshei Sdom experienced a feeling of haughtiness, and which led them to their sinful lifestyle, and it is a result of the fact that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them plenty, gave them shefa. Shefa means plenty. Uma ksiv bohem. What does it say? How is this? How is Sdom described in the scriptures? So the Brisa cites a pasuk from Iyov describing the nature of the Sdom community. So there's actually a string of psukim that are quoted in the next two lines, but the gist of these psukim indicates great wealth and comfort. Eretz mimeno yetzei lechem v'tachteha Nepach kamo esh, a land from which there was once bread, was once plenty. Makom sapir avoneha ve'afro zohav lo. This is a reference to precious gems and gold. Nosiv lo yedo'o oyet ve'lo shizofatu ein aya. Lo hidrichu b'nei shochats lo odo olav shochal. All kinds of dangerous creatures didn't pass through that area. They had, as we said, wealth and peace. Omru, the Anshei Sdom figured, after all, we are a land that is characterized by food and by gold. Lama lanu oivrei drachim she'en boim aleinu ela chasreinu mimamoneinu. What use do we have in passersby, in hosting guests? Guests being not necessarily hosting friends from one's next door, but over Yidrachim or passersby. What need do we have of those people that come through our community just to deplete our wealth? Bo v'nishakeach toiras regel me'artenu. Let us get together and forget the rules and etiquette of hosting passersby from our land. Shenemar poratz nachal meim gor hanishkoch mine regel dalu meenosh nou. In this pasuk, you see a reference to the let us forget the hosting of passersby. We see a new geometric form, a triangle with a colored in tip. This is referenced on the side. Hadgoshas dorash rova. The emphasis or the pointing out, highlighting of this opening expression. So we have two droshes of Rava featured here. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv ad ona tahoisesu al ish terotzchukuchem kikirnotu goder hadachuya. This pasuk is explained. You see in the pasuk a reference to a kir notui, that's a leaning wall, or a goder hadechui, is a fence that's pushed over. Malamed shohoyu noisim einem bebali mamon. This shows us that the people of Sodom used to cast their eyes upon wealthy individuals. They used to gaze upon them with a plan. Umoshivan oisoi etzokir notu. They would take this wealthy person. The assumption is that the wealthy people also were walking around with great wealth in their pockets, so they would place him, if he came into their community, next to a hazardous wall, a kir notui, literally a leaning wall, but we can call it a hazardous wall that's soon to crumble. The doichin oisoi olav, and they would push the wall onto him, crushing him. Uboim venotlin es mamono, and after that having been accomplished, he would then come and take his money. Dorash rova maidichtiv chosar bechoshech botim yoimam chitmu lomoi lo yodu or. This pasuk indicates the attempt to dig into people's houses at night when no one sees. Malamed, so this teaches us, shoyu noisim einem bebali mamon. Once again, we see this expression, and hence we've treated it with a dashed underline, just like we saw it before, that they cast their eyes upon wealthy people. Umafkidim etzloi afarsimon. They would go to these rich people and say, would you be able to watch for us, to store for us our afarsimon? Afarsimon is a very expensive type of fragrance. So they would ask the Bali Momon, could you watch for us our afarsimon? Umanichim oisoi beveis ginzeim, and the Bali Momon would place it in their safes, in their vaults, their treasure houses. These were places that were, generally speaking, hidden. Many people hide their vaults behind a picture, if you will, or another obscure location. So they would entrust their afarsimon, the Anshei Sodom would entrust their afarsimon to these wealthy people, and the wealthy people would put it away in their vaults. La'erev boim umarichon esu kekelev. In the evening, they would sniff it out like a dog sniffs out that which it seeks. Shenemar yoshuvu la'erev yemu kekelev yisovuvu ir. As the pasuk indicates, the coming forth in the evening and circulating around the city like a dog, sniffing out. And so that's what these Anshei Sodom were doing. They sniffed out the homes of the Bale Mamon. Uboim v'chotrim sham. They would then come and dig out where they sensed their Afar Simon was located. V'notlin isim mamon. And they would then they would not only take back their Afar Simon, but their intent was to steal the money of the Bale Mamon, of the rich people, after finding their vaults and their safes and digging them out. At this point, the Gemara quotes a pasuk. We don't see an immediate drusha on this pasuk. The Marsha is aroused to take note of the fact that there doesn't seem to be an immediate drusha. He therefore says that the pasuk may very well be a remez to the hanhogos. There might be hinted in this pasuk the different practices that the Anshei Sodom were characterized by, and these practices will be featured in the oncoming piece of Gemara. So for those who are interested in seeing the exact tie-in to the different sections of this pasuk to the upcoming Gemara, first of all, learn the upcoming Gemara, and second of all, you can always look into the Marsha for further edification. So as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to read quotes from a couple of psukim, and realize that there is not going to be a direct comment of the Gemara on this pasuk. We continue. Orum yolinu mibli levush v'enksus bakora, that indicates going to sleep without clothing, having no clothing out of because of a situation of not having, of having lost their clothing, and v'enksus bakora. Kora is and being in the cold, or kar. Chamor yisomim yinhagu, donkey of orphans they would take, they would drive. Yachbelu Shor Almana, Yachbelu has to also do with taking away the ox of a widow. Gvulois Yasigu, that's to overstep one's boundaries, to encroach on someone else's property. Eder Gozlu Vayuru, and they would steal flocks of sheep, herds of animals, and graze them as their own. Vahu Likvoros Yuval Valgodish Yishkoid. Dorash Rabbi Yossi Betzipori. Rabbi Yossi described the incident mentioned before by Rava, the Dorash Rava idea of hiding the afarsimon, of giving the afarsimon the fragrance to the Bali Momon, and as a result of that spotting or discovering where their vaults and safes were, and hence gaining access to the Bali Momon's, the wealthy people's riches. So Rabbi Yossi held forth on that topic in the town of Tzipori. So that night, after he held forth and shared that drosha with them, Achterin hahi leilo tlas meo machtarta b'tzipori. There were 300 break-ins that night in Tzipori, that particular town where Rabbi Yossi darshaned. Tzipori actually was Rabbi Yossi's community. So after he held forth, that very night, there were 300 break-ins. Osu v'komitzari lei, the townspeople who lost out, came and tried to make trouble, tzoros, for Rav Yossi. Omru lei, they told him, Yavis urche leganvi, you've created a path for the thieves, a path to our riches for them by sharing the drosha concerning the afarsimon. Omar Luhu, so Rabbi Yossi responded, Mihavi Yodana de Osu Ganvi, did I think that the thieves would come? Ki konoch nafshed Rabbi Yossi, when Rabbi Yossi died, Shafi Marzevi de Tzipori Doma, the spouts, gutters of Tzipori flowed with blood. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a Mivneh, explaining a structural note explaining the new geometric form. We see a bow tie form. We also are going to employ a numbering system concerning these bow ties that you'll find to the right hand side of the Gemara text. Here you see a Roman numeral number 1, and when you turn to Amud Beis, or you scroll down on your screen to get to Amud Beis, you'll notice that the numbering continues into the wide lines where we will number up to 5. What are these representing? So, and under our Mivneh heading, we see Hanhogois Rois Shal Anshei Sdom, evil practices of the stone people. We will continue in the Gemara, and each thing will be explained as we go along. Amri, the people of stone would say, De Islei Chad Turo, Mari Chad Yoimo. One who owns a singular ox is obligated to one day a week to shepherd around the animals of the entire community. The Lesle Liri Treyomi. One who has no animals of his own, he is obligated to serve the community 2 days a week. Hahu Yasmo Bara Malta, there was an orphan, the son of a widow. Havu Le Turi Lemire, they gave him animals to herd around, to graze. Ozal Shaklinu Vekatlinu, he took the animals and slaughtered them, or killed them. Omar Lahu, he declared, he told them, the Isle Tura, one who has one. After killing the animals, he says, anyone who has one animal, nishko chad mashko, can take one skin. The less lay tura, one who has no animals, nishko trei mashki, he's entitled to take 2 skins. Omrule my hai, asks, what kind of business is this? How do you get to this conclusion that the less you have, the more you can take? Omar Lahu, so this orphan said, Sof Dina Ketchilas Dina. The end of the justice system is like the beginning. Ma Tchilas Dina, just like the beginning of this legal practice. Stated the isle turimari chadyoma de lesle turimari treyomi. He who has one animal grazes the animals one day a week, and he who has nothing, the less you have, the more obligated you are. You have to graze the animal 2 days a week. Af sof dina, so too the conclusion of this legal system reflects the same thing. The isle chadtura, if you have one animal, so you're entitled to less, lishko chad, take one skin. The lesle tura, one let's say this again a little more accurately, that if you have one animal, so you're entitled to one skin. But the less you have, the more you're entitled to. The lesle tura, if you have no animals, lishko trei, you're entitled to two skins, just like we said at the beginning. The fewer animals, the more obligation. So too, the fewer animals, the more reward. A further practice of theirs. The Ovar Bemavro, one who crosses into stone, using a bridge or a boat. Nasiv Chazuzo, he pays one coin. The Lo Ovar Bemavro, one who doesn't use the official crossing point, so Nasiv Trey, he shall pay two coins. The Hava Le Dora Delivni, someone who has a row of bricks. The Osi Kochad Vichad Shokal Chada, the townspeople, each person comes and takes for himself one brick. Omale, and claiming, Ano Chada the Shakli, all I took was one. I didn't take anything of value, I just took one brick. The Havu Shodi Tumi O Shamchi, someone who had a pile of garlic or of onions, osu kochad v'chad shokil chada. The townspeople, each one would come and take just one. Omar lay, and each one taking would claim, ano chada d'shakli, all I took was just one. At this point in our Gemara markings, we have a brackets. We also have a note. First of all, the length of the bracketed section is indicated by the length marker. You can see a dashed, dotted, vertical line extending down, in this case, to the first of the widest lines, indicating that all of the lines opposite this are in brackets. And you can see where the dashed, dotted line ends on that particular line is also the closing of the bracket. As far as the role of the brackets, let us note the starred comment on the inside margin, acharei hasugrayim, after the bracketed section, haGemara chozeres lahanhogos stom. The Gemara will return to featuring the different practices, the evil practices of stom. And of course, if you just skip down momentarily, you can see that the numbering system that it started on the right hand side of the Gemara text picks up there with number 4, Roman numeral number 4 in a bow tie. Our note continues to say, Toch Hasograim, the contents of Gemara within the bracketed section, Gam Shayach Lanogos Stom, is also relevant to the practices of Stom, Rak Shahadogeshu Al Piskehu Chosef Shel Dayonov. The emphasis within the bracketed section features legal rulings that were issued by the Stom judges. Before we actually read the Gemara, let us take note of some other marking phenomenon that we have provided. We have a nosei and mivneh on the outside margin, the nosei, the topic, and mivneh, basograim, we indicate that the structural note concerns that which is in the bracketed section. We will notice a system of triangles, a series of triangles that are noted as aleph through hay. If you scan down, you'll see immediately, one after the other, you'll see Aleph through Dalet, and Hey appears a bit later, the last of the narrow lines. You'll notice a Hey. This serves to form one particular series. We've indicated in our note that in addition to the triangles, we have a double underline. Maisim upiske halocha shel arba dayone stom. We'll have incidents and legal rulings that were issued by the four Dayanim of Sdom. Their names are listed at the beginning of this bracketed section. As we go on in the particular in this particular section, we're going to encounter another series, that an overlapping series that will be featured later under our next Mivneh heading, and they will be a series of diamonds lettered Aleph through Gimel, which will feature what we've noted in our comment there, Hismoidedus Eliezer Eved Avrom Bestom Vahana Goseham, the challenge that Eliezer, the servant of Avram, encountered when he entered Sdom and their practices. That will represent a separate series, but there will be a certain point of overlap, and we'll try to note that as we go along. So let us, all that having been said, and realizing that the original series of Sdom evil practices that we started, and we already numbered up to three, will pick up after the bracketed section, number four. With that having been said, let us go learn the Gemara straight through with the brackets. Arba Dayoni Hoyu B'Sdom. There were four judges in Sdom, and their names are Shakroi, V'Shakrorioi, Zaifi, Umatzli Dina. The names themselves indicate their evil nature. Their names include a liar and a falsifier or forger and twister of justice. Number Aleph, we have the first ruling. Demochi lei leitzo de chavrei umaplo lei. Demochi means hits. One who hits or punches itzo, the wife de chavrei of his friend, who happened to be pregnant, umaplole, and caused her to miscarriage. Amrile, the judges would say, Yahava nihale, give the victimized woman should be given to the attacker, that he should be responsible for impregnating her anew. Dineabro nihalech. So the nabro loshen ibur is pregnancy. So that's their contorted form of justice, that the attacker shall take the woman, the victim, and impregnate her anew. The posik lay leudna de chamra, a second ruling of theirs stated that the posik, one who cuts off the udna, the ear, the chamra de chavre, of the donkey of his friend, omru lay, the dayonim, the judges of Sdom, would say to the owner of the donkey, in other words, the victimized animal, Hava nihale, give the animal to the mazik, to the attacker, ad dekodcha, until it grows a new ear. Depoda le lechavre, one who would injure his friend, one who would make a petza, an injury or bruise his friend, amri le, the judges would say to the victim, hav le agro, you, Mr. Victim, owe a fee. The shokal loch doma, you owe a fee to the attacker because he accomplished bloodletting. So you owe a bloodletter's fee to your attacker. Dalid, the ovar bimavro yohiv arbo o zuzi, one who crosses the river through the mavro, the bridge or a ferry, he pays four zuz. The ovar bimaya, one who crosses the water by foot, in other words, doesn't use the bridge or the ferry, Yoiv Tamnizuzi, he will owe eight. He has to pay twice as much. Zimno chada osahu peves iklolahasam. Once upon a time, a certain washman came to Sdom, to there, this Sdom, Omrulei. They told him, Hav dalet zuzi. Well, you entered town, you owe four zuz. Omar luhu, so the peves said to them, Ano b'maya avri, I didn't use your official transfer point. I crossed the water by foot. Amulei imkain hav tamni de avris b'maya. Well, then you owe twice as much. You owe eight because you crossed by foot in the water. Lo yohiv, he didn't pay. Podyuhu, they hit him. Osulakame de daino, and he was brought to the judges. Amulei hav le agro de shoku lochdoma. Now that you have been the victim of being beaten and blood flowed from you, you owe to your attackers a bloodletter's fee. The tamni zuzi, the avris b'mayan, and you also owe the eight zuz because you crossed the water by foot. Eliezer Eben Avram is Rami Hassam. Eliezer, the servant of Avram, chanced upon Sdom. He came to Sdom. As we said before, we're now going to see, through our markings, diamonds numbered Aleph through Gimel, and we featured this on under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, Hismoidudus, the challenge of Eliezer Eben Avram b'Sdom. He was challenged in Sdom, and how they, V'hanagosem, how they dealt with him, or how he dealt with them. So we're going to number this as Aleph through Gimel, but we're also going to be bearing in mind that we're going to tie these in to some of the things that were mentioned a bit earlier. So you will see appearing between the lines, triangled lettering, which is a tie-in to the aforementioned, or the above-listed triangles. So we mentioned that Eliezer came there, and what happened? Podyuhu, they beat him. Osulakame Dino, they brought him in front of the judge. Omar Le Hav Le Agro de Shokul Loch Dama. Well, you owe a bloodletter's fee. We've written in a gimel here and noted Zudugma Shel Psak Gimel. This is an example of that which was mentioned in the gimel above, the bloodletter's fee that's paid to an attacker. Well, Eliezer heard that he has to pay money, so what did he do? Shokal glola, he took some type of hard substance, a rock possibly, podyuhu ihu ladayona, and he beat the judge with it. He threw the rock at the judge, causing the judge to be bruised. Omar mai hai, so the judge asked, what are you doing? Omar le, so Eliezer answered, agro de nofak li minoch, hav nihale lahai. The fee that you owe me, instead of paying me, you give that money that I otherwise would have had to pay to the one that beat me. The Zuzi Didi, and the money that I have and that I own, Kidakaimi Kaimi, it'll stay with me. So instead of my paying the one who hit me, you pay the money that you owe me, pay him instead. We've inserted here a little hay in a triangle, because this constitutes a fifth type of ruling or practice in the series that we started just above. And we've also labeled this as bays in a diamond, because this is the second incident involving Eliezer Eved Avram over there. Havya Lahu Puraisa, in Sdom they had a bed. The Havu Magni Ala Urchin, the guests that came to Sdom had to recline on this bed. Kimarich Gaitzile, if the visitor was Marich, was long or tall, he was taller than the bed, so they would cut off his the extension of his body. They would cut off his feet to make him match the length of the bed. Ki gutz, if the visitor was shorter than the length of the bed, matchinle, they would stretch the guest up to the point that his limbs would become dislocated in order for him to equal the length of the bed. Eliezer Eved Avram ikla lahasam. Eliezer chanced upon Sdom as a visitor. Omru le, they said to him, kum goni apurya, you have to go lie on the bed. Omar lahon, well, he told them, nadra nidri min yomo de misas ima, I took an oath from the day my mother died, lo ganino apurya, I don't sleep on beds. Kihavu, we could go back now to the original bowtie numbering system of practices that were characteristic of Sdom. Kihavu misrami luhu anya, when a poor man would come to town, yavule kol chad v'chad dinra, all the people of Sdom would give the poor man a coin, the kosef shmeale, and each man giving the coin would write his name on the coin. Verifta lohavu mamtile, but bread, food, they wouldn't give the poor man. Kihavu mis, when the poor man eventually died, osi kochad v'chad shokul today, and each one would come and reclaim the coin that they gave him. Hochi asni binayu, they made the following condition amongst them: kol man de mazmin gavra lebehi lula lishlach glima, anyone who invites a friend to a wedding, so the inviter must lose his clothing. Lishlach lima, to be stripped of his garment. Havi hai hilula, there was a wedding in Stone. Ikla Eliezer lohasam. Notice with our previous diamonded lettering system, try an attempt to keep track of the Eliezer incidents and his encounters with Stone, we have labeled this as Gimel. Now Eliezer comes to this wedding. Before we go further, just let us make two more notes regarding the markings. We see in the space where the margin to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the word Maisa encircled with a vertical dashed line. As we know already with our markings, this is a length indicator. In other words, all of the lines opposite this section, opposite the vertical dashed line, all the lines of the Gemara are part of this particular incident, this Maisa. We should draw your attention to the diamond numbering that we've used to note the Eliezer incidents. In order to spot at which point each incident appears, we've also offered a lettering system in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. At this point, you can see we're at Gimel. So we continue with Eliezer chancing upon a wedding in Stone. We said, Ikla Eliezer Lahasim, he went there, Velo Yavule Namo, they didn't give him any bread, they didn't give him anything to eat. Kiboi Lemisad, when he wanted to eat, when it came time for the meal, also Eliezer, Vyosid Lesefa the Kulu, he came and sat in the back, he sat at the end of everybody. Omru Le Man Azmanach Lahacha, they turned to Eliezer and asked, who invited you over here? Omar Le Lahu the Yosef, Eliezer turned to the one who was seated next to him. Ato Zimanton, you invited me. Omar. Now, the fellow who was sitting there, who just heard that he was labeled the inviter, he said to himself the following. Dilma Shami Bey be the Ano Azminte. It might get out. They might hear that I was an inviter. Umeshachi Le Mone the High Gavra. And they'll strip. They'll strip him, meaning himself. The high gavra is a euphemism, but it refers to himself, that he will lose his clothing. Shoka glime, hu the yasiv gabe, vera the vra. So after making that calculation, he took his jacket, he took his cloak, the one that was sitting there, that's the expression Ahud Yosef Gabe, we put that in singular quotation marks. We've also dashed underline Ahud Yosef so that you can see it's a reference to the fellow that was mentioned just the line above that Eliezer had fingered as you are the one that invited me. So that same person, we're calling him the Ahud Yosef Gabe. He took his own garment, Verot Lebro, and he ran out. V'chein Ovad Lekulhu. Eliezer did this with each one. As one guy ran out, Eliezer would finger the next guy. Hey, you are the one that invited me. And each one would get nervous and run out. Adinafki kulu, until the wedding hall was emptied of people. The ochla ihu usudasa, and he ate his meal. In other words, he had all of the food that was prepared was left for him. Havio Hahi Revisa, there was a young girl in Stone, the Havis, called Mafka Rifto La'anyo Bechatzva. She was a compassionate individual. She would bring bread. She would take out bread to the poor in a jug. So that when she would go out to draw water, carrying her jug, she had some bread hidden in the jug and was able to pass it on to the impoverished. Igloi Milsa, it became known that this was her practice. Shafua Dusha, they took her and smeared her with honey. V'ukmua al Igushura, they put her on the roof of the wall of the town. They put her on the top of the wall. Also Ziburi, bees came, V'achlua, and consumed her. V'hainu Dichtiv, with that in mind, we understand the pasuk that says, V'yomer Hashem, Zaka Sdoim V'amira ki Rabo. Literally, Hashem says, I hear the screams of Stom and Amorah as being as great, great screams. However, the Rav Yehuda darshins this. V'yom Rav Yehuda Marav al iske riva. The word Ravo can also be read as riva, meaning the screams of Stom in the context of the the travesty that was done to this young girl. We continue in the Gemara. The Gra deletes the next two lines. Adas Korach, Ein Lohem Chelek Le'olam Haba. And again, the Gra deletes that which follows. Tonu Rabbanan. So we have a note on the side, the nosei, the topic heading, Adas Korach, and we have an indicator that it goes till Kuf Yud Amid Beis. Tonu Rabbanan, the Tanaic source, features the Korach and his group, Adas Korach, Ein Lohem Chelek Le'olam Haba. That the group that was accompanied Korach, that group does not have a share in the world to come. Shneamar, v'techas aleim ha'oretz, that is ba'olam hazeh, v'yovdu mitoch hakol equals the olam haba. In other words, the double expression of destruction indicates a destruction in olam hazeh. They were absorbed into the ground, and they're lost from the future world as well. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Omer. Rashi adds a word in here, Vayovdu. He's citing the second clause that we saw just above, Vayovdu mitoch hakol. So Rav Yehuda ben Maseira capitalizes on this word, Vayovdu, to develop a new drasha. He says, Hare hein, the members of the Adas Korach are ke'avedo hamisbakeshes. They're like a lost article that is sought out by its owner. And Rashi explains that means that they will have a chelek in Olam Haba. Shenemar ta'isi kese oved bakesh avdecha ki mitzvoisecha lo shochachti. Rashi explains. You'll notice we have a star written into the Rashi, mitzvoisecha lo shochachti, halfway down the inner column of Rashi commentary. What does that mean? The mitzvos I did not forget. Shekaimu kol mitzvoisecha, the community that joined in the Korach rebellion, they were people who fulfilled mitzvahs. Kidechtiv ki kol ho'eda kulam kadoshim. The pasuk testifies that entire group were holy people. So the fact, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, that they were themselves shomri mitzvahs enables them to have a portion in the world to come. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a tat nosei, a sub category, a sub topic heading. Drushos al Hashemos. We're going to see Drushos' explanations concerning the names. We'll see Korach, Ben Yitzhar, Kohos, Ben Levi. We'll also see Dosan and Aviram featured, and Oin, Ben Peles, Ben Eruvain. All that featured in the next few lines. Vayikach Korach. The first one doesn't focus on the name, but rather describes Omar Rish Lakish, Shalokach Mekach Ra Li Atzmo. His rebellion was in effect a bad deal that he got involved with for himself. The Rashi adds Mekach Ra. He says Hischil Biktota. He started with controversy. Now we darshan the names like we mentioned in our introductory note. Korach Shenase Korcho BeYisrael. Since the Korcho literally is a bald spot. So since his community, the community of rebellers, were absorbed into the ground, so it's kilu, a section of the community was wiped out, and hence leaving a bald spot in the community. Ben Yitzhar, that's literally Korach, the son of Yitzhar, but the name is Darshan. Ben Shehir Siach Olov Es Kol HaOilom Kitzorayim. This that Korach was guilty of causing great rage, like the noon, possibly the noon being a time of intensity, of sun intensity. So we'll say this rage with intensity. Ben Kehos, Ben Shehiko Shine Molidov, an individual who causes his forefathers to be embarrassed because of his evil behavior. Ben Levi, Ben Shinase Levio Begehenim. One who serves to be an accompanier. Levio is to accompany someone in Gehenim, in purgatory. We have a bracketed section. And we have a star indicating that Acharei HaSheela V'Hatshuva V'Sugarayim, after the question and answer that you find in the bracketed section, HaGemara Mamshicha LeDrosh HaShemos B'Tchilas Parshas Korach. The Gemara will continue its drushes on the names that appear at the beginning of Parshas Korach. So if you just glance to the Gemara as it appears after the brackets, you see Dosan and the Gemara Darshan Sheovar Al Das Kael. But that having been said, let's go now learn the bracketed section. Since we mentioned that Korach, the Torah calls him, describes his background as genealogy, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi, could the Torah not have gone on to say Ben Yankov as well? Velech Shuvnami Ben Yaakov, Ben, and darshan it and explain, Ben Sheikev Atzmo Legehenim, the one who caused himself to end up in purgatory. So why does that not appear in the Torah? In other words, call him Ben Yaakov as well and offer a drosha on that. Omar Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchok, Yankiv Bikesh Rachamim Atzmo, our father Jacob, Yankiv Avinu, prayed for himself. Shenemar B'soidom Al Tovoi Nafshi U'Bekolom Al Teichat Kevodi. The Gemara explains, B'soidom Al Tovoi Nafshi Elu Miraglim. I don't want to be listed as part of the genealogy of the spies. U'Bekolom Al Teichat Kevodi Ze Adas Korach. And likewise, I don't want my name being associated as part of the genealogy of those people that were part of the Korach rebellion. That explains why we stop at Levi and not go further, because Yankov himself had prayed that his name should not be associated with these evildoers. Continuing the drushes of the names that appear at the beginning of Parshas Korach, Dosan, there were others that were part of the Korach uprising. You have Dosan, Aviram, and Oin ben Peles. Those are names that are mentioned. So Dosan equals Sheovar al Das Kael. Das is the rules of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes used in modern Hebrew as the religion. So he was a violator of God's will. Aviram, Sheiber Atzmo Me'asos Tshuva. Iber, like the word Abirim, has to do with the strong ones. He strengthened himself to resist doing penitence. The Oin, we mentioned Oin ben Peles, Sheyoshav Ve'Aninus. Oin did do tshuva. Aninus has to do with a state of mourning when a person loses a close relative prior to his actual burial. The relative is called an Onain. So it's a type of a depressed state of mind, or one who ponders penitence. Peles, Shinasu Loi Plois. He had wonders done for him. Plois, that which was is amazing. For our purposes, it means that Oin was saved from them. The Gemara will feature that story shortly. Ben Reuven, Ben Shiroa Vehevin. An individual who saw and understood. This will become clear as we go on. Omar Rav, Oin ben Peles, Ishto Hitziloso. Rav points out that Oin ben Peles' salvation was a result of his wife, his wife's efforts. Before we go further, we'll take note of a new geometric form, the diamond that appears here, indicating some type of series or connection with an additional idea. So we have a Mivneh note on the outside margin. The diamond is featured. Shtei, two noshim, two women. Roman numeral number one corresponds to the wife of Shel Oin ben Peles, and number two, Shel Korach, the wife of Korach. The story of the wife of Korach will be featured on the next Amud, the top of Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. One who has that available can see Itzei de Korach featured on the second line from the top and in a diamond. But as far as today's shiur is concerned, let us start with the story concerning the wife of Oin ben Peles. Omrale, she said to her husband Oin, I see that you're involved with this controversy, with this Korach rebellion. My nafgaloch mina, what difference does it make to you on a personal level? Imar rabo, ant tamida, the Imor Rabbo Ant Tamida. If Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rabbo, is the leader, you're going to be a student. You're going to be anyway in a secondary position. And if Korach, Imor Rabbo, if the other one, if Korach is the leader, nevertheless, you still will be a Talmud in a secondary position. Omar Law, so Own says to his wife, "What can I do? My Avid, Avoy Be'etza, what can I do? I was part of part of this scheme to rebel, Vishtaboy Vibadayo, and I swore together with them that I'll be part of it, part of this rebellion." Omra, she figured to herself, she said to herself, Yodana de Kula Kinishta Katishta Ninu, I know that this whole assembly of people are an assembly of otherwise holy men, people that are very careful in mitzvos. Very careful with, of course, this, with the exception of the issue of their being part of a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, but they had their justification for what they were doing. Nevertheless, as far as their personal mitzvah observance, they were holy people. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Ki chol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, that the entire assembly are an assembly of holy people. So she, bearing that in mind, Rashi adds, at the end, he says, the kulam kinishta kedoshim, kulam tsnuim, they're all people that practice modesty, ukedoshim, and holiness. Veloyi konsu elai im ani pua, they won't come into my vicinity if my hair is uncovered. A married woman, according to Jewish law, must have her hair covered. And the reason, part of the halachas that accompany that is that men, when engaged in when a woman is in public, are not to be not to gaze upon the hair of a married woman. That not only in public, but in general, the hair of a married woman is to be covered. Of course, if she's in the privacy of her home, then that particular restriction doesn't exist the same way that it does in public. But she knew that these holy men, if they were to see her hair uncovered, they would distance themselves from her. Omra lay. So the Gemara goes on telling us that she says to her husband, Own, Tuv, you sit here. Da'ano matzil naloch, I will save you. Ashkise chamra, she gave her husband wine to drink. Ve'arvise, he became intoxicated. Ve'agnise gavoy, and he went to sleep. He went to sleep inside. Oisva albova, she sat at the door, the entranceway to their home. The sasrasa lamazie, she undid her hair, she exposed her hair. Called the osa, everyone that came to call upon Own to join them, chazia hodar, they saw her with her uncovered hair, and they headed for the high hills. They took off. They didn't want to encounter her in that way. Adahachi bahachi, in the meantime, Ivlu lahu, they were absorbed. In other words, she scared off all the men that were coming to get Own to join them, and in the meantime, they went back to their group, at which point they were absorbed into the ground, and she thereby saved her husband. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.